Welcome back to the Art Podcast with me, Lisa Fevral. And today I'm actually here with Roman, who is Lollyward. Is that how you pronounce your account?
That's right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
There's multiple accounts. There's two.
Yeah.
We are actually going to talk today about the world of repainting dolls and also our project that we've created together for my jewelry business, because it's kind of a slay, if I do say so myself. Yes. And if you're not watching it and you're listening to it, you can always go to my Instagram and you'll see like links to IDBY, my jewelry line or whatever, and you can see the images there. But they are so slayful. We kind of, you know, are really proud of it. Yeah.
Roman really kind of slept
with it. Yeah. Really excited to talk about all of this today and also just like discuss different types of art, not just, you know, the one that we're used to talking about, which is basically, you know, gallery type of art where you walk in and you look at things on the walls or whatever the fuck. So we're going to cover what repaintings even are for those of you who don't really know anything about it, but we're going to be quite brief because we know that many people are familiar with it. So we're not going to spend too much time explaining it, but what is repainting and how did it come to be so big in recent years?
So once again, I want to say like, I really appreciate the project and it was so cool to work on it with you. And actually with my other assistant, which is my friend. And it's a really pleasant experience. And now we can move to explaining what repainting actually is. Mm-hmm. To be honest, I'm not that into the history of that. And I don't know when exactly that started. But I believe the whole process of producing dolls, actually in the beginning of that, someone creates a prototype, which is actually a repaint usually. And to this day, still, it's people on factories and companies who paint dolls that we see in stores. Because before you produce a doll, you have to paint a face. And maybe that's the beginning of the repainting. Like, everyone knows stories about how dolls existed, so maybe it's like repainting is older than we even think. Like, because actually, I think since the first doll was introduced, the very first one, it actually also was painted. So,
yeah,
it's super old as a phenomenon. And for these days, I think it's became more popular now because everyone is online chronically and everyone posting their dolls. And actually, it's a lot of fashion dolls on the market right now. And people love to customize them. And when you customize them, it's actually super pop. It started to be super popular in recent years on the times of quarantine. People been restyling the dolls all the time. And, you know, sometimes when you restyle the doll, it's quite unmatching in terms of makeup. And I think people started from just customizing the makeup looks. And then it became bigger and bigger, and everyone started painting. But if it comes to brass dolls, I can't really remember repaints with actual brass style back in the days, like in 2010s or 2015, whatever. But I think some people tried. The community is so big, like, and so talented. It's a lot of people who do clothes, pictures, everything at once, you know? Usually, brass community edit dolls in Photoshop, but overall, in recent years, I noticed that so much people stuck to repainting, and it's more common now that doll is actually painted than edited. But it is as I see that, like, as someone who works and lives in this community. Yeah, that's pretty much it. And, you know, actually, I can remember a lot of Monster High repaints, and I think it was more popular than Bratz repaints back in the day. Because Monster High dolls has a variety of faces and skin tones, and it's kind of more matching for customizing, because, you know, Bratz is like the same head mold for everything, just the skin tones is different. And I think maybe because of that, also articulation, because Bratz dolls only recently got it. Like, they had articulated bodies back in 2007 with movie collection, but this body has been super rare, especially Sasha. But nowadays they improved that. They have a variety of articulated bodies. And I think maybe that's also why they're so popular for customizing nowadays. But overall, back in 2010s, 2015s, when I only got into it, I only got into it in 2017, I guess. I got into dolls earlier, but into repainting, I got it into it back in 2017, because it was a lot of videos that showed the process. And we can really start with my background, because I've been stuck to the dolls my whole life, kinda. At first it was Barbie, then it was Bratz, then it was Monster High, Ever After High, and then I came back to Bratz again. But all of these dolls and all of this life has a special place in my heart because it's so nostalgic. I actually grew up with it, so it's all been in my eyes through the years. And I remember when Monster High launched, it was so common for people to make clothes for them, or houses, or any kind of furniture. And I was so into that because I'm actually always been some kind of art kid. And I decided to connect my life to art when I was around 8 years old, when I started art school.
That's really early.
And then I was so interested in Monster High dolls, and I remember watching videos. Like, I've had multiple big influencers, if you can call them that, from Monster High community back in 2010s. And usually they was making like contests with clothes and housing for dolls, and you didn't actually have to have a doll. You could just make a house with no doll, but overall. And that really inspired me to create something, like art-wise, with dolls. And I started doing something, but then it like stopped for a little bit. And I remember when I've been finishing my 7th grade, I guess, I got my first Monster High dolls. It was Freaky Fusion apparatus, I guess. I can't remember, actually. And it was super interesting to interact with her because I've never had an actual new doll that I could interact with, a Monster High doll, because I usually had something broken before that. But it also was interesting. And I remember discovering people who repaint dolls on YouTube. And it was a lot of tutorials how to do hair, how to do clothes and everything. Once I got a doll, I was like, well, I have to try that because I see a lot of examples. And I did my first repaint back in 2017. Then I remembered Bratz because they had a reboot in 2015. And I got a couple dolls from Hello, My Name Is 5-pack. It was a budget dolls. And I actually enjoyed them so much because it's nostalgic for me, even even though it's like a reboot. I customed them too, and since then I started my journey. But actually, at the start, it was more of Monster High and Ever After High dolls, because they were more unique to each other. And I didn't actually like my style on Bratz dolls because it was more realistic in some way. And I thought it doesn't look right.
Also,
you're trying.
I'm curious about like how tiny everything is, you know? Do you get like annoyed while doing it, or is it somehow therapeutic or something like that? Because to me, working on something tiny is like crazy.
Sometimes it's so annoying, but I think I kind of get used to it nowadays because I've already painted over 300 dolls, I guess, maybe even more, because I started like way back in 2017. And to this day, like I remember last year, I counted and it's like 60 something dolls in the year.
Oh.
But if you count it, like every year from there, it's already like 7th year going right now. So it's like a lot. Yeah, actually, you know, even I used to brush head so much right now because I'm mostly repainting brush in this era. And when I touching something that's smaller, it's becomes difficult because I literally used to one face. Brush doesn't have molds, as I already said. I believe nowadays I'm trying to make a lot of smaller details in my repaints and pay much more attention to them too. So I don't know. Actually, I'm getting annoyed with getting everything even, like eyes and eyebrows. The hardest part for me. And that's pretty much it. Like, I don't have any more difficulties when I work with something. So yeah. And
it's kind of like, you know, like a nail art.
Is, yeah, kind of. But nails are
because it's so tiny.
Smaller in some way.
Oh, they're even smaller.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I guess so. But like, they don't. You don't have to be doing like matching eyebrows, for example. You don't have like the same, I guess.
Yeah.
Actually, maybe if
it's
you do a face
easier,
on it, I guess.
Actually, you know, some kind of nail art I had. I have an upcoming project that I work on right now, and it contains a little like lip foam, and I actually been painting a screen, and I've been painting like a message that the doll got, and it's a lot of small details, so it's kind of like nail art in some way. I guess I can do nail art as well. After everything.
I would assume so.
So yeah,
I would assume so after painting something so tiny. Yeah,
I actually do a lot of stuff, everything, and when I try to transfer to actual photography and actual editorials, it becomes so much harder because usually it's a work team that does everything, like each person for every purpose. But I used to do those because in doll world, I'm doing everything by myself. Like, I'm a director, I'm a sewing machine, I'm a painter, I'm a makeup artist, I'm a creative director.
With all of this, I feel like it's really interesting that this is a type of thing that kind of has so many people involved in it, in a sense of like doll community in general. And as we've talked about this, it's such a big difference to translate these skills to photo shoots that are like human scale with humans. So it's a really big difference between working with dolls and full scale because of how many people are involved in it. And it is definitely interesting that, I mean, to me, it seems like something where you would actually be able to learn a lot about art direction or creative direction when you're doing photo shoots doll scale on your own, because I feel like you're gonna be learning a lot of skills that would be useful for that specifically, because having so much control over everything, it would be really difficult to let go of it when working with people. But at the same time, you do learn a lot about actually having input on everything and knowing how to create a full concept and like see it through, right? So I feel like for people who are interested in creative direction, this would be a very interesting way to go about learning how to creative direct or getting more experience for themselves. Like, yes, it's going to be different when you're going to be working with a bunch of people, but in terms of concept work, I feel like that's a really good idea.
Yeah, actually it is. And you know, it's better to start this way, since you're gonna understand everything better. And at the same time, I wanna mention that doll community is really an art space, because everyone nowadays and back then used to make photo shoots for their dolls, or like painting the dolls, or sewing something. Dolls is such a way of expression for art people, I guess. Because, you know, it's actually little pretty things. And who doesn't love that? And overall, it's a way to express your skill, to show that you can do something interesting. As you remember, even big designers like Margiela had this passion for dolls as a kids. and they've been doing clothes inspired by doll scale items, if you remember that. Like, dolls is literally so much more connected to what the fashion industry doing nowadays, because fashion dolls is literally all about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. It's always interesting that I noticed, based on my audience too, that a lot of people who were interested in a lot of either shows or dolls and stuff like that, that were based on, not even based on fashion, but kind of like fashion dolls or shows that were designed by designers, like the characters were designed by someone who later on became a fashion designer and stuff like that. That is a surprisingly common. A lot of people who are in the creative field right now, whichever one it is, they all loved dolls as kids or even as adults. Like it's kind of like a thing that they started liking as kids, and to this day they're still into all of those designs that they enjoyed as kids, which for some people, of course, there's like an element of nostalgia, of course, but some of them, like, you can really tell that a lot of thought and creativity went into creating those designs. Like, a lot of collections that you can find in many of those fashion dolls, they genuinely use fashion ideas or fashion trends and stuff like that in such an interesting way. That's really, like, it's just really cool and really fun to use in general for your current practice as a designer or a photographer or whoever. So I think that it just genuinely makes sense that there's so many doll collectors who become someone in the creative industry. Like, it just makes sense, because how else, like, if you had this knack for liking these types of things and enjoying them in a way that sticks with you for such a long time since you were a kid, of course you're already showing that you're going to be interested in the creative field. And if you don't end up in the creative field, it still shows that you have a knack for it regardless. Like, even if you went into sciences because you wanted to or whatever, like, I wouldn't be surprised if that person has a hobby on the side that is very creative, you know? So, it just kind of makes a lot of sense, in my opinion. And it's just really interesting how big the community has gotten over the years. It has become its own thing, basically.
And I actually think it's more common for people like that to incorporate their work into a real field once they're, like, skilled enough with dolls. So this is basically what I'm trying to do now. Mm-hmm. And I'm just learning how to work with that, with real people, on real sets. Like, you know, it's actually harder, of course, because dolls, they're just standing here and they can stand here for months or years, you know. But when you work with real models, it's like, well, it's 1 hour already, we want to go home, we want to eat, we want to sleep, or whatever. And that's okay, because it's like actual human beings, and they have needs. So yeah, it's kind of more complicated in this term, and in connection also. Because usually when you work with dolls, it's like, you know your own idea, and you don't have to explain it to everyone else. Like, you have your vision, and you go with it. But when it's a team of people, you actually have to explain, and not everyone always gonna get it, like, gonna understand it.
Yeah.
And I had situations like this, like, I've been explaining a concept and everyone was like, what's that? You don't get it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when it's done, it's, oh my God, you had a vision. So,
God, that's so common. And also, you know, it's so strange, because in one way, I can understand when people are like saying that you should learn how to explain yourself better and whatever, right? Which is true to an extent, because I definitely understand that, like, some ideas can be explained if you figure out how to do it properly and whatever. But at the same time, it's also on the people that you're sharing that information with. Like, for example, even this podcast is not always going to be everyone's cup of tea. Yeah, because for some people, it's like talking about art without an art background is already not something they want to be doing. So regardless of how much I explain anything, they're not going to be interested in listening to it anyway, right? And then there's people who have their own fields that they are in, but they still have enough of an understanding of things in the art field that they are interested in more specific information, right? And it's kind of the same thing as when you're explaining something to a team of people because you're trying to create something where you have control over the creative vision, for example. And if some of those people have enough experience in this industry, they will be able to understand even when you're not, like, maybe there's still going to be a lot of, like, miscommunication and stuff like that, but it's just kind of natural because it's always going to be hard to explain things that are visual in words. But at the same time, I do think that it's kind of like a team effort of, yes, I have to meet you halfway. I have to learn how to communicate properly. But at the same time, the person on the other end also needs to understand things about art in general. Like, if I start referencing things or I show you images and I show you like a full-blown project presentation and stuff like that with a lot of references and images and stuff like that, and you're still not like picking up what I'm putting down, it's going to ruin the entire experience. Yeah. Like, you have to still meet me halfway too, right? And that's kind of the issue with working in the creative field, especially as freelancers, right? As someone who doesn't work for a company where there's like a team of people who are all hired because they have like expertise and they're all getting paid well and stuff like that, or at least they're getting paid. I'm not saying well, because we all know how this is. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to us as people who are freelancers, you know, it's kind of like a whole other beast.
I wanted to point out, like, you know, sometimes when you plan something, not everything goes by plan. And you have to change certain details or certain movements in the project. And sometimes when you explain your concept to the team, they actually stuck to it. Like, from the first meeting, they imagine a picture in their head, in their mind, and they like standing by that. And when you work with dolls alone by yourself, you can kind of move it like seamlessly, you know? Like, you know what you're gonna do, even if something is changing. But when you work with people, they usually stuck with their ideas that you had in the beginning. And if the project is too long, you know, it can change like every week, every second, every day. But it's actually interesting how working with dolls alone could be so much easier, faster, and better in terms of process. So it's actually perfect if you're just starting, trying to elevate the skills of planning. And I just believe the idea gonna work more smoothly with dolls than with real people. But you actually have to get used to that. And that's something that I'm trying to innovate into my life, into my art, and understand it better.
So we started how this project came to be. We followed each other a long time ago. I don't remember when. 2021, maybe?
Not 2021. It was recently, like this year or last year. No. It was 2023 when you dropped your Brad's Deep Dive.
Okay, yes.
I followed your channel a long ago, back in quarantine. And then I've been following you for a long time. And once you dropped a deep dive, I followed you on my doll account on Instagram, because I didn't follow you on Instagram before. And I followed you because I wanted to repost it because it was so good. And it was so interesting. It was so full of facts. And it was so well made. I can say that.
Thank you.
I mean, everything is like that. Because it's true. Overall, I think I followed you. I wanted to tag you because it was really interesting for me to watch it. And I wanted to share, so I followed you, I tagged you, and then you responded. So that's it. Yeah. Kind of how we met.
Yeah. That's how we met. And then when I created the jewelry brand, I wasn't really thinking about, like, ahead of time in a sense of, like, what kind of photo shoots I would want and stuff like that. But then I thought about... I realized that because it's a small business, I'm not going to be able to do photo shoots like a new photo shoot every fucking week or whatever the hell, as some people do, right, to promote and whatever. But I wanted to create, and since I had to be kind of concise and very deliberate with my decisions of who I actually want to be working with and stuff like that, I started to think more about different types of photo shoots that could be made. And obviously there are some photographers and people in the city in Vancouver. Some of them I like, some of them I don't. But overall, I was just thinking about what could be more unique of an experience for people, and what would make for a more interesting photo shoot than just, you know, another photo shoot with just people standing with the jewelry on them and stuff like that, right? Because it's just like kind of the same thing over and over again, technically speaking. And I thought that those like remakes and repaints and were really interesting, especially I saw that, for example, you did like a photo shoot where you used a fancy club type of dress, and that's when I was like, oh, that's so cool that you could make it in like a very tiny kind of version, right, of it, and that it could be used on the dolls that are, you know, everybody knows brats in general, of course, but also it's like, it's a different style, obviously, because like you repaint them in a way that gives them a little bit of a different look. And I thought that it has this like interesting combination of something that is editorial, while at the same time it has a bit more experimentation because of the environment. Like you can actually have these fairies, you know, in a forest if you want them to, in a forest that looks a specific way, right? Not just like a random forest where you just walk in and you just kind of have to make do with whatever. Yeah, but you literally you can control what that environment looks like. So I thought that would be like such a cool thing if that could be arranged, right? So we started to talk about that, and I think were you the one who suggested that they should be fairies, or how did we go about it? I don't remember. It was you guys. It was 9 months ago.
Because of not 9 months. I believe seven,
eight,
or eight. Kind of.
It was August.
I just remember you told me like I knew you like before. I've been following you since quarantine, so it's like, I also seen all of these Wings videos and all of this fairy inspired stuff that you are always mentioning. So it was pretty obvious that we have to make something like that. And you also had a butterfly pendant that actually inspired whole set and whole show and whole doll. Here.
Can you see? Yeah, the whole doll.
Yeah, so they also attend in our podcast.
It just happens every time, so, you know, because I didn't plan on it. Like, I didn't plan on making a butterfly pendant. I just made a pendant. I just wanted like 4 stones, but then I realized that they look kind of like a butterfly, and I was like, might as well call it a butterfly effect.
A world.
Yeah, and also same with like the stone, because I have like 2 chains, right? Like one of them was with a purple stone and one of them was with an orange one, and the one that's with an orange, I called it Solaria, and like it's again related to Wings. I'm like, I can't escape it. This is who I am.
So yeah, that was pretty much it. And then we wanted smaller scale jewelry on dolls, but then I was inspired by this Victoria's Secret brand, if you remember that. There was fancy variations of Wings from different materials, like metallic ones or like vintage ones.
You showed me like a whole brief, like a proposal thing. I'll show some, maybe like some sketches and stuff like that, just so people see that you like literally drew it out, and we were talking about like how we can incorporate the actual jewelry in it. I think that at first you wanted to just make a mini versions of them, right? And then we decided that I could send you a copy of each, and you could incorporate it into the Wings, like actually weave them in with metal.
It actually was inspired by this elf aesthetics, you know, these earrings that they usually make from wire.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because I actually didn't even know. I don't know a lot about elves and stuff like that. They were not really like something that I ever read about or anything like that. But it's funny because about like a few months before I decided to have my own brand, I was working for a jewelry company and I was supposed to do a design for them. And I designed an earpiece that now thinking about it, I'm like, that looks so elfy. But I did not realize that it did, because to me, I was like, oh, it's kind of like, you know, I wanted like I wanted two wings of not a butterfly, but a dragonfly on an ear. And I kind of, and because of that, I needed more support on the ear. So it kind of went here and then there was more around here. And I was kind of like thinking about it now and I'm like, that's so elfy. Even the shape would have been fucking elfy, and I did not realize it. Like I did not even did not even like connect it.
I wanted to turn these wings once we finished into a headpiece to make a shoot as well. Because it's
Pretty, I think you should honestly, or maybe I don't know if you. Oh, I guess it's still gonna be intact if you take it off the doll. Yeah. Okay, yeah, if they're detachable, yeah. You could literally, do like a whole headpiece and stuff like that with them. Because honestly, yeah, like it's such a mood. Like I really wanted to do something like that. Now I'm like thinking, I'm like, wow, that's like too Lord of the Rings of me to to do that. But at the same time, like it's kind of cool anyway. Like especially if you do come up with like a way to keep them up, because they are heavy, right?
The dolls literally can't hold them, so they usually stand on stands. Because they can usually stand on their on them themselves, but sometimes they're like just falling back. And when I've been shooting, I had my friend who's also my assistant helping me to balance the dolls. Because they always like trying to fall down the back because the wings are so heavy, especially Felicia, because she has so much metal in it. J-wings are slightly better in this department because they are a little bit more light.
I don't know. I think I've talked about it before on this podcast that I had a collective when I was in university, which is like, it's pretty common for artists to have collectives, especially when they're in a university. But I kind of want to transition it into being a rotational kind of collective where you don't really have like a membership or you don't really have to be doing anything as much as you kind of become like an honorary member when you create something like collaboratively or when you create something because it's like made for the brand or something like that. I'm going to create a separate page on the website that's going to be called IWI Collective. And under it, we'll be discussing more about why, you know, this photo shoot, for example, was created and stuff like that. Because to me, since it is a slow production brand, like I'm not making 300 collections of, you know, a year. It's a lot more special when there's a collaboration going on or when, you know, someone is creating something with the pieces or incorporating them in them. So I feel like it would be really interesting to just write it down, basically, kind of in some kind of either writing or as a podcast or whatever, and also offer people a higher quality image to look at, because I know that Instagram and other platforms like so YouTube too, they really eat the quality up. They really don't show much of the details. So I feel like it would be a really good idea for us to have those images available on the website. I'm going to post about it on YouTube or and on the podcast channel as well. So you could actually look at the pictures, upload them on the website so you could actually go and see it. Yeah, just go check it. It's going to be easier for you to see the details and stuff like that. And there's so many details, like even the shoes are to die for.
It's actually my favorite part, you know?
The shoes?
I discovered I discovered that I can use UI resin for shoes, and I actually made these butterflies. And the shoes itself, made out of the shoes, is actually made of some kind of tree sap. And overall, I had to seal it, and then I added sparkles overall and UI resin. I made a butterfly to match it. I don't know, it was such a vibe. Science, you announced we're gonna do fairies. I was like, yeah, we need the shoes, definitely. Like, you
Definitely.
remember all of these pictures with blurry quality, like some kind of WeChat stuff, and someone walking on this, and they're like glowing, sparkling. That's definitely the vibe I wanted to bring into the function on this project, because it's kind of super common, but it's so cute and sweet, so we definitely wanted that.
Definitely. And also, it's kind of like marrying technology, because the thing is, you don't even have to add anything super tech heavy in the outfit, except of course the wings are metallic or whatever, but in general, aesthetically speaking, it's not really like super tech heavy. But because you're filming on VHS, and it's one of those things, I feel like, when you're filming on something that is kind of retrofuturistic, like VHS, it has this quality that, in many ways, to me at least, it like immediately makes it feel more like futuristic in a sense of, or maybe not futuristic, but technologically related, because you're so aware that this is being filmed. Like with cameras that are 4K, it doesn't feel like you are aware of being filmed, but with this type of quality, it really feels like, oh, this is behind the scenes of a photo shoot. It feels like the dolls are becoming alive in a way, because you're like, oh, they're just being caught in the middle of a photo shoot. They're just doing that thing, and there's like a camera just in the room, you know?
It really speaks to me. Like, the way it filmed, it really seems like all type of doll commercials. You know, they actually looked like that because it was aired on TV, and then they was recorded on VHS cassettes. I really wanted this vibe for the video because it brings so much emotion to me and so much nostalgia, even though I never lived in the time it was present. But at the same time, I used to watch all of these commercials, all of this vintage stuff, and they all looked like that.
We still watch these things after. It still feels very nostalgic. It still gives you that feeling of nostalgia, even though you didn't like actually grow up with it. Which is really interesting. I feel like it's the same for even a new generation of kids who are like 10 years old right now. They still learn
Of
more
course.
about like other things, and
You
to
know,
them
it's
it's
so
also kind
much
of
more
nostalgic.
interesting to experience like fake nostalgia, you know? You probably know about the term. This aesthetic never was present for you. These things was never present for you, but you just know it's something from the past, and it's more interesting because you've never experienced that. For example, probably our parents or older siblings never gonna look at VHS tape and say like, that shit hits, like we like it. They probably assume it's something old and aged bad enough. So, but for us, we never experienced that, like actually in present time when it was common. So for now, we have more interest in that stuff because it's like so cool and vibey, but
I have a feeling that the reason why it feels so vibey and stuff like that is genuinely because of texture. Because of how obsessed we are with quality in terms of sharpness nowadays, I personally find it quite overwhelming, because why, when I'm looking at someone's face in this video, why am I able to see all of their fucking pores? I can barely see that in real life when I'm looking at somebody,
yeah,
right? Like,
like everything, every little detail, something digital like VHS, it's usually blurry and you don't pay that much attention to little imperfections. And that's probably why this is so appealing to us.
It's basically kind of like giving you a little bit of a break for your brain, because you're looking at it and you're like, I'm not looking at an overload of information, visual information, where I can see fucking everything, while at the same time I feel like I'm being overwhelmed with the amount of shit. Like, for example, going to the movies and watching a lot of movies that are like kind of like Avatar, for example, right? And I don't mean all the shots, but some of the shots when characters are, for example, flying and you can see so much detail around them and it's really colorful and it's so over the top. It's so crazy how, even though it's so realistically made, technically speaking, I can't say that this leaf doesn't look like a leaf. It feels so artificial to compare to watching old movies in Technicolor, you know, like Red Shoes or even Wizards of Oz or whatever the fuck. You look at it, you look at it and you're like, yes, it's bright. Yes, it is very artificial. I can tell that people have built this set. But for some fucking reason, because it's so, like, because it's not so hyper realistic, and because the way that they have used the colors is so deliberate, because they built this set, right? Because they didn't just make it in the computer and they couldn't just change the colors whenever they wanted to. They had to make a decision and make it real. It feels a lot less overwhelming. They want everything to be realistic to the point where they try to make things that are supposed to be fantastical look too realistic.
So, for example, Hellraiser as a movie, they used a lot of stop motion animation to make effects work, and it's an old movie. I can't remember the year exactly, but
1987.
You can see perfect special effects. They had a character that was coming back from hell and in a form of a slime, something slimy. I don't know how to name it. And it was literally growing from slime to bones and flesh, and it's a stop motion animation. And it looks super cute and real. Cute in the sense of, like, realistic of it all.
It's so cute.
I really enjoyed this movie because it's so well made. It's so well done. And overall, I like the aesthetics. I like the designs of characters. They also made a lot of cute makeup choices in the film. People used to pay much more attention to details. The success of Euphoria, for example, they put a lot of details and a lot of thoughts into it. Like the character wearing green because they're getting greedy, the character is wearing something else because they're happy or whatever. It literally speaks to me every time I see something like that. And every time I starting to analyze anything, it's just speaks to me.
I gotta say that Euphoria was actually developed by Petra Collins for 2 years until that guy came in and took over it while, like, using her aesthetics, which is great. Don't we love that?
She actually had to renovate herself after that. Because, you know, when your aesthetics that you're building for years getting into mainstream, it's really painful, I guess.
Not even mainstream, it's been stolen from her. Because if it was just mainstream, because she was the one who was in charge of Euphoria, it would have been fine. But he took it from her. Levinson is just such a leech. It's crazy.
And you know, NDAs is so super sad because I don't think she even can address it publicly.
Yeah, I don't know if she can, honestly. Like, I think she probably can't say something because I'm 100% sure that they made her sign an NDA. Like, so the reason why we're even talking about this is because a lot of the things in this project were practical effects. Like, you would maybe think that it was edited, but in reality it was practical effects. So, for example, for example, the water that they're levitating over in one of those shots that we posted first, right, on the blue background. First of all, the background is painted and it's real. Second of all, the floor of the water, the actual water surface, is also real. So tell us more about that, about all the practical effects. Yes.
Yeah. I don't know where I should start, but I believe we can start from the floor, which actually was a glass that I painted with some kind of polish, like glossy polish. And to elevate the water, I had to make it like in strokes, brush strokes, to make it look like water. And then I put my lights behind that to make the look more elevated. And overall, I painted the background because I really wanted it to be like more of vintage Barbie commercials or any kind of vintage commercials, you know. They usually had to paint the backgrounds. I think it's also old Hollywood vibes, like for example Wizard of Oz or any other Hollywood movies from the 60s or 70s. So yeah, that was really meaningful for me. That was really important to me to make it real. So, and when I've been thinking how I can elevate the concept better, I decided that I actually need something magical happening. And I remembered I used to look into some kind of visual aspects of nature back when I've been studying art. And you know the way the rainbow works? The raindrops reflecting the sun, and then we see the rainbow. And at the same time, I wanted to experience something like this in this concept. Just decided to add water, and it looks super magical. But overall, this effect, not edited, is like purely made.
Mm-hmm.
I had my assistant to spray it from the spray bottle to create the effect. And it was super cool. I don't know, because it's actually a new experience for me. I had to be super quick to make it look better, to make it work. And then I decided that we need multiple occasions for our characters, because the dolls actually took a lot of time and they're like super worth it to make multiple occasions and multiple photo shoots for them. And I think to this video we already posted all of them. For the second shoot with the forest, I had a fake grass from Home Depot, and I also bought flowers that like dry bloomers, and it was super fun to create this set because it was super creative overall. I've been finding stuff at my own place, at the street literally, because it's a lot of wood sticks in the background, and that's actually what makes my art elevating in terms of production. Every time I see something on the street or at my own place or anywhere else, I'm like, yeah, that would make a good tree for my set.
Yeah.
It's always like that. And everyone is like, what are you doing? Like, I'm giving trees to my dolls. You can see that. So then when I've been thinking about our third post and third shoot, I decided that we need oversized flowers because fairies, pixies, and all about it. And you know, this, like, the idea of a little fairy on a mushroom or something, it's super cute. So I definitely want something like that. And then I created this. And that.
Yes!
it's actually made out of foam mirror. It's a material that looks kind of like paper, but it's more like foamy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I painted it with spray paint, added some wire to make it work, and it's actually giving old Hollywood sets.
It does. Yeah.
Yeah, I like the way when it's like actually done.
I wish I could have one of those as a big one that I could like sleep in, like a bed.
Do you remember movies like Mariposa Fairytopia from Barbie?
Yes. Yeah.
It's actually flower.
I know, that's what I want. I want that at home. Can you imagine? That would be so cute.
Yeah. And a little Bibble around.
Bibble! I love Bibble. My assistant is always like, oh my god, Bibble is so scary.
Bibble is so cool. Little Nakam. So overall,
it's so fucking
when
funny.
I did these flowers, I knew that it's gonna give this old Hollywood vibes look. And it's always better when it's done than it's when it's edited. I'm trying to stick to that to this day. And every time I'm trying to make a shoot, I'm trying to manage that the set is actually done, because it looks better with real lighting and real atmosphere around it. So when I've been thinking about it, I decided that I have to make a background somehow, and it still should be magical in some way. So this time I get mesh for the background, and I just scrapped it into pieces and put it on the background and added lighting behind it. So the lights you see is actual fabric in the picture. And it's super fun, I don't know. I just think things like that really elevate the concept.
100%.
And it really looks better when actual thing. So yeah.
It would have been so great if we could be doing that like in big scale, but it's so fucking expensive. Like, if you actually get these types of materials and you make it big for a human, it's like, it's so much money, but it would be so much better than fucking editing everything, right? Because it just gives so much more atmosphere.
Yeah. It's also the reason why it's easier with dolls for me, because I can do crazy stuff I can't imagine myself doing something like that for people, because I would need a whole team.
Like a big budget. Like even to think about like making that flower, how much paint would you need to just like fucking paint the flower? I just like, I don't know, I think that that's also why I was so drawn to having like a photo shoot with dolls, is because I knew that there's more possibilities to do something like fantastic and like something really specifically fairy tale-esque. To the point where it wouldn't be just editing, where you have to make it, like, you have to finesse it, and the person is not actually in the atmosphere, you know? Like, you kind of, you're just gonna have to do something in post. It really does add a lot. So that's about it. That was the process. Ask us any questions, by the way, if you want to know something specific, if we've missed something, and you're just curious about something in particular.
So, yeah, it was so nice to see you today, and it was so nice to describe the process, because it was really special. It was a long time that we spent together, and I think I made a really good friend during this time. I really appreciate you. I really appreciate my assistant, which is Doll Trader on Instagram. You also can see the pictures in the background. He's not with us
right now. There's
going to
be a link, too.
Yeah, yeah. He's super talented. You have to check him out. And he also helped a lot with this project. I don't know. I really appreciate you both. I don't know. I'm so emotional right now.
That was a big project. A baby, basically.
Basically. Like, basically. We all gave birth to it. So, yeah. That's it. I'm so happy we did it, and I think that's for now. Bye.
Thank you guys for watching, and I'll see you with the next one next week. Bye.